Good morning. I want to say welcome to everybody watching us online at Lifeway Live and to everyone here in person. We are on the next to the last message, the next to the last installment of this series called Daring Faith. And today we're going to be talking about generosity. Generosity is, first of all, it is never just money. If you only think of generosity as being money, then you're missing out on many opportunities. There's three areas of our lives that God says, I want to bless. There's three areas of our lives that we need to be working on. One of them is our integrity. The next one is our humility. And the third one is our generosity. If we can master those three areas of our lives as children of God, trusting in Him, filled with His Spirit, we will go far for the kingdom. Let's talk about what generosity is. If it's not just money, what else is it? Somebody help me. It's your time. What does that mean when you say it's your time? Say it again. Say it louder. Yeah, so serving or volunteering, right? You know, I kind of had a little go back and forth with Linda on our serve team. And before the hurricane, we had a fantastic volunteer corps here. The hurricane came, wiped out our building, wiped out everything. We were displaced for probably a year. We're building things back up. COVID-19 hit, scatters. We're building things back up again. And so we're going to be starting something new and a little different to encourage service, to encourage volunteers. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be displaying right after Daring Faith. We're going to be asking people to volunteer and serve for 4 months. 4 months. And then we won't ask you to serve the rest of the year unless you want to. 4 months. This isn't like most churches where you serve an unending time. We discussed this. Why do some people have a fear of volunteering to serve? Because there'll never be an end date on that volunteer, right? Like if you decide that, if you say yes and then you ever decide to stop teaching those little kids, it's like, what kind of horrible Christian are you? You don't want to teach the children. No, we're going to ask people to sign a 4-month commitment. We're going to ask you to volunteer for 4 months out of the year, and we think we can fill every service position in the church on Sunday morning and the rest of the week. So that's time. So being generous with our time, that's one of them. What's another one? Be generous with our what? Be generous with our money. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that more later, but I'll tell you what. I think some of the stingiest people are Christians, and let me tell you why I know this. I worked as a waiter before I really began to serve the Lord, okay? And as a waiter, I worked for a restaurant that the majority of the cars in the parking lots were BMWs, Jaguars, I mean nicer cars. If you drove a broken down Chevy, you parked with the rest of the cooks in the back, okay? And you know what day of the week I dreaded working more than any other day of the week? Sunday. Can you imagine why? Because church people are the what? Worst tippers. They're the most demanding. Man, they'll come in there and want you to rearrange the grains of sand in the salt shaker. They will demand service. And they were the worst tippers. They were the meanest people. They were the most hateful people. And I remember sometimes waiters had to be forced to serve on Sundays. Because, you know, as a waiter, I don't know if you know this, but back in the day, and it's not much different today, you legally get paid $2.10 an hour, and then your tips. And so if your food rang $1,000 that day, if you sold $1,000, they're going to take taxes out as though you were tipped 15 to 20%. So when somebody doesn't tip or doesn't make equal 20, guess what? The server paid to serve those people. That's why I just want to encourage y'all. Man, when you go out to eat on Sunday, be the best tipper. Be the most forgiving. Man, I tell you what, if you ordered enchiladas and they bring you a rack of lamb, just smile and eat it. Don't be ugly. Don't be hateful about it. Because I tell you what, after you've been hateful to somebody, in a service member in a restaurant, and you write, love Jesus on the little receipt, that doesn't do a thing except confirm to them that Christians are some of the tightest people out there. And I'll tell you why I think it is, now that I've been in ministry longer and I was a waiter. I think too many people are used to getting served at church, being treated like royalty at church. And so they leave here and they want to be treated the same way. They don't show up with a heart to serve. They don't show up with gratitude. Thank God I'm here. Let's praise God. They show up with, well, let's see if it equals what I think it should be. Boy, the lights better be right this time. I tell you what, they better dust that temperature. Does that preacher not own a watch? These chairs are not as comfortable as they used to be. In other countries, there's people that'll sneak out into the woods or sneak into an abandoned building to whisper hymns. And somebody will share a memorized verse of Scripture, for they own no Bibles, for they'd be in prison for them. And they leave with a heart filled with worship. Boy, did they have a better church service than some of us in America do? Do they? Well, we take for granted, don't we? Generous with our time. Generous with our money. Generous with our praise. How about that? Generous with our praise. Guess what? Some of you missed out. Did y'all appreciate what the Lifeway Band just did for you? They led you in worship. They weren't here performing for you. They were here to lead you in worship. How many of you spent some of your worship time being generous? Because when we worship, do you know what worship is? That's when we just say, oh God, you are so awesome and you are so cool. You're the reason I'm here. But there's no way I can sing in public for fear that someone would say I'm not cool. Well, I just don't like to sing. That's your Heavenly Father that gave you the breath in your lungs, makes your heart beat. You can't even pretend to mumble the words. How are we going to encourage anybody else to praise God if we don't praise God? And you know the best thing you can do, if you can stand there and all you can do is howl at the moon? You're just up there and you're singing, Lord. I tell you what, the people around you, they're like, oh, Father God, bless him. And then they sing even louder to cover you up so the guests don't hear. And guess what? As the volume picks up, everybody starts singing. And all of a sudden they're like, could you hear the howls of praise this morning? Right? Right? Generous with our time. Generous with our money. Generous with our praise. Hey, if generosity is not the first thing on your heart and mind as a believer, if it's not the commodity that you're looking to share with all those around you, we miss an opportunity to share Christ. Because generosity is in very short supply these days, isn't it? And I tell you what, share a couple of verses in a minute, but what you're going to see that when we're generous with our time, with our talent, with our energy, with our praise, it can bring people to the Lord. Now, I want you to know, some of you need to get up off your blessed assurance, and before the year ends, you need to personally share Christ with somebody. Bring them to church. Amen. Bring them up here to see me. Amen. I'll do it. I'll talk to them. But you know what? You need to be able to look somebody dead in the eye, and I'm praying for every one of you people. Before the end of this year, if you've never shared your faith, that you're going to take somebody by the hand that's struggling, that God opens the door, and I just want you to be able to say, hey, listen, I don't know everything, but here's what I know. Here's where I was. Here's what God did. Here's where I'm at today. I'm on the road He wants me to be on, but Jesus changed everything, and you know what? I think that's what you need in your life. Thank you for being Billy Graham. Thank you for being Francis Schaeffer. Thank you for being Billy Sunday. Thank you for being a phenomenal sharer of the gospel, because that's what you just did. That's what you just did. See, you planted that seed. Didn't bring them to church. And they're going to go, hey, that goofy guy up front, Pastor Kyle, he said the same thing. Let's talk about being generous. Why is God so interested in generosity? Why is God so interested in generosity in our lives? First of all, because generosity is love in action. I'm going to say this quickly, and y'all stay with me now. You can give without love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you love the Lord, you have repented of your sin, trusted Christ as your Savior, and He dwells inside of you, then you have a desire and a need. God wants to come out from inside of you. And one of the greatest ways He does that is through generosity. If you say you love the Lord, but you're not a generous person, you need to check up on your salvation. You need to check up on it and see, did you just say some words or is it real? The greatest question you should have in this room is, am I really saved? Am I really going to heaven? Am I trusting in Christ or my religion or my denomination or something I said at summer camp? Somebody said, how can I really know? I said, look at your life. The Bible says that when a person becomes a believer, that their entire life changes from the inside out. Salvation is instantaneous. The act of growing closer to Christ is a day-by-day journey, right? So from the day you've made your commitment, are you still spiritually standing in the same place? Or can you see yourself miles down the road from that? Are you really a believer? Because love is generosity in action. Generosity is love in action. So you can give without loving people. But you can't love people the way God says to love them unless you're giving, unless you're caring, unless you're out there among them. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of skeptics out there. And they're waiting to see how you live and act and talk. And what do? 7,000 promises in the Bible about salvation, about faith, about eternity, about satisfaction, fulfillment, and blessings. Over 7,000 promises. And did you know that almost every promise comes with a premise? Almost every promise says this. God says, I will do this if you do this. I will give you this. I will bless you if you do this. Every promise has a premise. Break down a couple of words for you. The word believe is found 272 times in the Bible. 272 times, popular word, right? The word love and its forms are found 714 times in the Bible. But the word give, or the variations of the word give, are found 2,154 times in the Bible. You think God is concerned with generosity? You think that's a major motive? I mean, one of the major attributes of God Himself is this. And so basically, here's the thing, folks. Everything you have is a gift from God. The air in your lungs this morning is a gift from God. That may not be a big deal to you, but somebody suffering from COPD or lung cancer, they praise God with each breath they take. And you got to get out of bed. I don't know how long it took you. It took me more than a minute, but I got up. And when I rolled up out of that bed, Erica was in the bathroom, and I love that our window faces east, because the first thing I said to her was, oh, what a beautiful sunrise. And then I wondered, not how many of y'all were up as early as I was, but I wondered how many people didn't get to see it this morning. They aren't here today on this planet. So what happens every time you're generous? I'm going to go through a few of these for you. First of all, generosity, it honors God. Generosity is an act of worship. We're told to worship God. We're told to worship God with everything we have. You had an opportunity to worship in voice and in spirit just now. We can worship by sharing what we have with others. We can worship by giving our time to the Lord. We can worship by giving of our money to the Lord. Giving is an act of worship. And here's the thing, because it recognizes everything you have is from God. Did you know that? When you give, you're saying, God, thank you, and I worship by giving this back to you. Now, let me make something very clear. As a child of God, how much of your money belongs to God? Say it a little louder for the people online. How much? All of it. How much of your time belongs to the Lord? Everything you have belongs to Him. So whenever we volunteer, let's say you went and taught fourth grade boys. To me, that's the closest to hell you'll ever be on the planet Earth. If you have not taught fourth grade boys, you do not know trials and tribulation. The book of Revelation is lived out in the fourth grade classroom, okay? So you filled in one Sunday. You come out of there drenched in sweat and you're like, oh God, that's all I'm giving. I've given everything. And you walk out of there like you've been preaching to the natives and down in Paraguay or something. You walked out into that air-conditioned building, got a drink from that cold water fountain, tapped your wallet, got in line, got you a Happy Meal, went home to your air-conditioned home, and you think you've been suffering for Jesus. Let me just repeat something to you. Sometimes when we serve the Lord, whether it's on a ministry team or anything else, it's not pleasant. Let me say it again. It's not pleasant. Sometimes it physically hurts. Oh my gosh. They've asked me to work in the coffee shop. You would think we sent you to a sweatshop to make soccer balls for 12 cents an hour. And you think you're suffering for Jesus by doing that. In the kindest, gentlest way, let me say this. Grow up, Lifeway. Grow up. Until we see the nail prints in your hand and the blood trickling down from your side, I don't think anything we can ever do can be called a sacrifice. Now look, I have to specify, and I'm down on preachers that do this, but that was my opinion. And basically my opinion doesn't belong in a sermon. But since I'm standing here and I'm ADD and it wasn't in the notes and it popped in my head, it just popped out to you. If you don't like it, get up before the offering's taken. I don't care. But I think we whine and complain when we're asked to be involved. 2 Corinthians 9:13, as a result of your ministry, here's what Paul is saying. As a result of your ministry, what? They will give glory to God for your generosity to them, and to all the believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Listen to that. When they gave out of generosity, it proved to them that they were believers. Look at Proverbs 14:31. It says this, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. You want to honor God? We honor the needy. We honor the poor. The next one is this, generosity will also draw you closer to God. You want to be close to God? You want to know what it feels like to be so close that you feel that warmth? Now, we just went through a blizzard. Any of y'all do some snuggling during the blizzard to stay warm? I don't need your hand raised. I don't need a picture in my mind. I'm just saying. But did you get somebody heat off somebody? Okay, I live with the heater. She's called the heater. If my toes are cold, I just slip them underneath five or six dogs and touch her feet, and now I'm warm too. And then she'll say, get on your side. Three or four dogs laying over there, but if my feet, no. But if you want to feel God in your life, then we want to draw closer to Him. Why? Because God is interested in what I'm invested in. Because what I'm invested in is what I'm interested in. How I invest my time, how I invest my money, tells God what's important to me. Show me your checkbook. Show me how you spend your time. I will show you what you deem important. Take away the electric bill. Take away this. Where's all that money going? Did you really need a brand new vehicle every 2 years? Did you really need that? Catalogs are a gift from Satan. Did you know that? Because that's when you sit down, you're going, oh, I even know they made this. I need one of these. And then I'm formulating a plan. Erica, you have got to, this is the answer to the prayers we never prayed. Look at this. They make this. Batteries included. 5 easy payments. I'm thinking you'd be blessed to have it. You see, we have to get to the point where our generosity draws, but materialism pulls us away. I'll share a little more on that later. Deuteronomy 14:23, when God was teaching the children of Israel, I'm just going to share one line out of this thing, and it says this, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. So God introduced the tithe to these people. And he says, bring in the tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses his name to be honored, and eat there in his presence. This applies to all of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. God was saying, bring the first 10% of what? Everything. Look, preacher, I'll write a little check, but I'm too busy to come to work day. I'll pray for you. Some of you would rather write a check than show up and help. I long for the days when I was the first one here and the last one to leave on a work day. I long for the days when Odell White and Gary Hull hung off a scaffolding up here with one leg and one arm scraping wallpaper. Those were the days, weren't they? Now we can barely build the scaffolding for the young men to be on. But that's being generous. Matthew 6:21 says this, your heart says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Your heart and your treasure occupy the same space in your life. Let me say it again. Your heart and your treasure occupy the same place in your life. What is valuable to you is where you spend your time, your money, etc., etc. Some of you have hobbies that probably should be businesses. You've got so much money invested in them. Somebody asked me, hey, don't you like to go fishing? Don't you want to buy a boat? And I'm like, look, man, I'm ADD. I'm wound up by the time we get to the lake, all right? But now you got to buy the boat. Now, to those of you that boat, y'all know I'm a hypocrite. I love these things that go pew, pew, pew. But you can't say it because then the government will come and get them from you. They'll leave your boat, but they'll take my pew, 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 stick away. But then you got to buy the boat. Then you got to register the boat. Then you got to pull the boat. Then you got to go to the lake and you got to buy some slimy critters to put on the hooks. Then you got to have the gas to drive out there. You got to catch it. And after you catch it, you got to haul it in and do what? Clean it. Now listen, if you want me to accompany you on a fishing trip, I'll be there. Don't need a rod. I'll just chat you up while we're doing it. It'll be a great day out. But I personally think Red Lobster and Long John Silver catches some of the best fish. Sorry, that's just me. Now I'll come over to your house and eat it anytime you got it. You know, please don't say, well, I had some out in the freezer to give the preacher today. I'm just taking, no, gone. I got a refrigerator in that office. Let's look at generosity as a cure for materialism. Materialism is about getting all that you can get. Get. Materialism is, I need more, I need more, I need more. You see, I didn't want the newest model truck till I pulled up one Sunday and saw that one of our members bought my truck. I drove by the lot and I saw it. And I said, whoo, wouldn't that be nice? A few days later, the truck is gone. I'm like, well, somebody got a blessing. And then it parks 3 spots from mine. I said, Lord, what are we doing here? I walked by. I touched it. I ran my hand down it. And then I thought to myself, I don't want to be paying for this thing. You can imagine what that new truck must cost. Somebody here without one of their kidneys, I promise you. Generosity is the cure for materialism. Listen to Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, please don't misquote the verse where it says, people will say, well, isn't the love of money the root of all evil? Isn't money the root of all evil? So money is bad. Rich people are bad. No, listen. That verse says, the love of money. Money is nothing more than a tool. Money is neither bad nor good. Money is good when it's invested in the kingdom. You're putting food in people's mouths. We're drilling oil wells in Sahara. We're giving goats and sheep to people at Christmas time. That's what our family does. You know, we put all in together with an international organization. And we send money over there to give chickens and pigs and goats to families that can now take them and raise them and have the milk and sell them. We're setting people up in business. The Moore family is entrepreneurs, international entrepreneurs, I'll have you say. The love of money, the lust of money is sin. Money is neither good or bad. It's what you do with it. Do you set on it and hide it? Do you have so much of it that you lay awake at night worrying about who's going to try and get it from you? Poor people sleep good at night. Man, they open their window and they say, Lord, bring the breeze. And as I fall into slumber, whew, protect me for tonight. What does a rich man say when he goes to bed? Anybody got an idea? Okay, God, I can't stay up till the Tokyo market's open, but I'm heavily vested in this adventure here. And, you know, I don't know if I need to buy down. You know, I'm a little squeezed in the equity market, but, you know, God, I didn't need to stay up. I just need to stay up and watch when Tokyo market opens in the middle of the night. Cause I got to be ready in the morning. I got to see where that money's going. Did I make some or did I lose some? God does not have a preeminent spot in that person's life. That's why poor people love God more. They got more time to love him. Poor people pray about things rich people don't. Some of you in this room, you know what I'm about to tell you, don't you? Have you ever prayed for the tires on your car? Have you ever gotten downright charismatic? You put your hand on the tire, you reach up and say, Lord, I look around, make sure the cows aren't watching. Lord, you know how expensive tires are. And Lord, if you will just help me get to the promised land, that's payday. I'm going to buy 2. And then if you'll to protect them back 2 for just another payday, I'm going to get it. But Lord, I think, and have you ever seen a poor people get a new set of tires? I parked my truck after getting a set of tires. I walked around it like I just won the lottery. I'm like, Cars driving by. Did you see these tires? Did you see these tires? If I was ever going to be a thief, I think I'd steal truck tires. You know how much money you can make? How are they going to trace them? Never mind. I should. Can't wait for those letters to come in. So let's talk about rich people. If your family makes $10,000 a year, you are in the 84th percentile of the richest people on the planet. If you make $10,000 a year, listen, if you work double shifts, sacking groceries, you can make 10G, okay? If you make $10,000, you are in the 84th richest percentage of the world. If you make $50,000 a year, you are richer than 99% of the rest of the population on the planet. Congratulations. I'm doing a wealth seminar to the richest people on the planet today. Never thought I'd get to speak to the richest people in Cuero. We are rich. America is a blessed nation. We get upset when the power goes off every other hour for a few days. Lawsuits. Cop cars have to sit in front of the electric building so some crazy redneck doesn't storm it with a shotgun because they're mad that they didn't have electricity for 3 days. There are places where they don't even know what electricity is. Did you know that? We are blessed beyond measure. And if we don't start thanking God for those blessings, and we don't start retaliating with generosity, He can take it away from us. He can take it away from you. Everything God's given you, He could take it away from you as easily as He gave it to you. Oh, I work for this. Keep saying that. Keep saying that. Everything we have is a benefit of His. 1 Timothy 6:17. Listen, I'm going to talk all you rich folks now. He says, or for the rich, as for the rich in this present age, the Apostle Paul's talking to Timothy, young pastor, he's going to be sharing this with church members now. As for the rich in this present age, charge them to not be haughty, not to set their hopes on uncertain riches. I got a little bit. I need to make some more. But on God, who richly provides us with what? Everything to enjoy. Some of you got so much money, you're not enjoying it. Some of you got so much stuff, you're not enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? You got a nice house, a big yard, a big spread. Somebody comes over and says, man, this is so peaceful. And you say, no. When I look out here, all I see is work. All I look at is my next improvement, my next new. That's all I see. We're kings and princesses living in the wealthiest nation in the world. And he goes on. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. If you're ready to share, you're looking for opportunities to share. Thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. I'm going to share an embarrassing story with you. I'm sitting in my office back when it was up here. Back when I was the only one at the building. Back when there was an air conditioner. We hadn't even finished the whole downstairs yet. And I'm sitting in there with the window open because we couldn't afford to run air conditioning except for 3 hours on Sunday. And I'm sitting there and I hear shoes scuffling up the sidewalk. And I look out and there's somebody that definitely appears to be homeless to me. And I'm like, oh, goodness. Because we get a lot of people here, you know, asking for money or help or gas or hotel. We get a lot of people here, okay? And I went to the door and I let the guy in. And he said, I'm just looking for any kind of help. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh. I mean, what we got? We got nothing to give him, you know? I'm working 65 hours a week plus pastoring the church. I know good and well that I have $10 in my pocket that has been there for a week, and I just would rub it like, thank you, Jesus. And I said, look, what's going on in your life? So I kind of slowed down, and he starts talking to me. He says, I just got out of jail. And I'm thinking, yay, and now I'm standing alone with you in a building. And he goes, I'm trying to get to, and he gave me his destination about 65 miles away, something like that, you know. And he said, I don't mind walking. He said, it's these shoes. And then I looked down, he had on a pair of shoes with no shoelaces in them. And I'm talking about blown out, like toes sticking out like you would expect to see in Walmart, you know, in Arkansas, you know. That'd be regular there, you know. And I said, what's the problem with your shoes? He flipped off his shoes and his feet were raw where they'd been bleeding. He goes, well, this is all I could have, and I know if I go barefoot, there's no way. Now, what I didn't do was look down at the brand new pair of tennis shoes that Erica just bought me. Running shoes. You know, when you carry a few extra, you need that support. On sale, cheap, means $60, $70. I didn't even look at him. I wanted his eyes to stay up here. I'm like, okay, I said, so what else can we help you with? He goes, man, if I could just get maybe a meal and a bottle of water or something before I start out walking. And then I looked down at my shoes and I said, what size do you wear? This final test, you know. I'm a test God on. Well, what size do you wear? Because I know these are 10.5 wides. I said, what size do you wear? He said, you know, well, last pair of shoes I bought, it was a 10.5 wide. I just started taking them off. I just took them off. I'm like, God, this is what's going to happen. And he said, what, you're giving me? No, you can't give me. I'm like, I'm giving you my shoes, brother. And I said, but you need socks. Do you mind wearing? I'm going to give you my socks. I don't have any extra socks. Do you mind wearing? You got to wear socks. So you got to take care of your feet, man. So I gave him my socks. I gave him my shoes. He had a tear and he says, I never thought anybody would be that generous. And I said, dude, it's only a pair of shoes. It's not like I gave him keys to my truck and said, hey, take off in Jesus' name. And I said, look, I can't take you to where you need to be. And I got a little money in my pocket. So why don't we go to the gas station on the edge of town and I'm going to buy you whatever you want to eat. And so he got 3 hot dogs, 2 burritos, and a big old drink. And I'm like, now I'm just going to suggest that maybe we add some granola bars, some beef jerky and other stuff to that. Are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. So I loaded him up. He's wolfing down his burger. And I said, I want to pray with you before we leave. And he put his hand up and I thought he was going to tell me no. And you know what he told me? He goes, no, I'm praying for you. And he says, God, I found a brother in Christ who shared with me when I was in time of need. I will love you and keep serving. And he prayed the most awesome prayer. I'm like, oh, can you come back on Sunday? I said, let me at least drive you to Victoria. I felt guilty now. He said, no, no. He said, this will be great. And besides, I want to try out my new shoes. On the inside, I'm like, yeah, let me know how it works. Y'all, they were new, like 1 or 2 days new. So I came back to church barefooted with no money. And in about 30 minutes, we were having a meeting. And in walks everybody. And I'm like, hey. And they're like, hey, where's your shoes? And I said, I gave them to God. And they know me well enough, like going, okay. I watched my brand new tinny runners going down the highway. I almost missed an opportunity to give a little tiny blessing to somebody. The feeling I got, the smile on my face and in my heart from helping somebody just a little bit was well worth it. But what if I didn't have those new shoes to give? See, what if we don't have it to give? What if we're so greedy with what we've got that we miss an opportunity to be a blessing? Because the Bible tells us that when we give like that, it is evidence of who we are and what we believe. Let's look at the next point. Generosity reveals my character. It reveals my character. Luke 16:11 says this, and if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? Hey, listen, for all of y'all praying to win the lottery, but you stingy, unsharing, ungrateful people, and you can't manage money now, a $20 bill burns a hole in your pocket, $100 automatically races you to that side of town. Is God really going to trust you with millions of dollars? I'm just asking. If you can't manage what you have now, what clue makes you think God's going to give you more? Look at this verse again. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? In other words, your generosity here will directly reflect your generosity there. Now, if God can't trust you with what He's already given you, are you wasting your breath praying that you're going to win millions? Let me ask you, does that make sense? But I know somebody's sitting there going, well, listen, I'm going to tell you right now. If I win $350 million, I promise I'm going to give $1 million to God. I had a guy share something very similar with me, and I'll tell you real quick. He said, preacher, I need you to pray for me and my wife. He's a coworker, and I said, what you need to pray about? I said, I like to pray. He says, well, we're praying about the lottery. And I'm like, yeah, don't really know if I'm, what's the details? He goes, well, you know, right now it's $6.3 million. And we've decided we're going to give a portion of that back to the Lord. I'm like, well, that's a start. And he goes, I want you to pray for us. I want you to pray for the point. I said, what's the point? He goes, the point three. See, the lottery is $6.3 million. And we've decided we do it, if we win it, we're going to give God the point three. Come on, y'all. I know y'all went to public school. Let the math wheels turn. I said, that's not even 10%. He goes, but that's not really an income. It's not a paycheck. I'm like, whoa. We got to stop and have a little Bible lesson here. I said, 10% is 10%. What is 10% of $6.2 million? Any math wizards in the audience today, please? How much is it? Say it again. It's more than 0.2, isn't it? Some of y'all are so generous, you'll give God 0.2 if he gives you 6. Do you know that it's all his anyway? Have you ever had your child come to you and say, Mama, will you give me $5? Well, I won't buy you a present. No, and then when they buy you a present, it's really for them. You're like, huh, a parachute man. That's awesome. No, that was me. I'm 6 years old. I told my mom, I said, hey, I want to buy you a birthday present. I didn't know when her birthday was. She said, oh, she opened her purse and gave me $1. Woo! Ran down to Perry's Five a Dime. I bought 3 parachute men, a bit of honey, and a jawbreaker. I came back and I said, I gave her one of the parachute men because I got a 3-pack. I gave her one. I said, happy birthday. She goes, what am I going to do with that? I said, well, maybe you'll want me to go over to the courthouse, climb the slide on the outside of the building, and then parachute it off the 4th floor. She said, no. I thought she meant maybe. About an hour later, the judge is calling saying, Miss Moore, your son is on the, you know, the fire escape. You know, they used to have slides. I climbed up to the 4th floor. I was throwing my parachute man right down onto the courthouse lawn. See, sometimes we say we're generous, but we're not, because it's all God's anyway. And if we're untrustworthy with what he's given us here, what can we expect for him to give us to manage there? And so I want to finish by just sharing this with you. Your generosity reveals who you really are. Your generosity reveals who you really are. Only you know the answer to these questions. How generous are you with your time for ministry, for the Lord, for the needy, for those in need? How generous are you with your energy? I'll go a step further. How generous are you with your ingenuity? With your ability, God has blessed some of you folks. You got the mind of an entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? You got great ideas. Are you sharing them? Are you using them to honor God? You want God to honor your business? Then let your business honor God. How generous are we with our praise? How often do we praise? Tell you what, by the time you make it to bed, you need to praise God you made it through this crazy day. We live in some crazy times, don't we? We do. We're not immune in the Metroplex here. We need to be generous with everything we have. Why? Because Jesus is the example. Remember I told you generosity is giving? Want to know how generous, want to know how loving God was? Because you can't love without giving, right? What verse am I thinking of? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to be your sacrifice to die on that cross. Tell you what, the answer is Christ living in your life. The question is that the place he has right now? Do you know about him? Or do you know him because he's so close you can feel the warmth? Does Christ live within you? If you can't say emphatically yes, Christ lives within me, I urge you right now, get your heart right with Jesus. There's not a magical prayer. There's not a magical ceremony to go through. God, I repent. Jesus, I believe. I surrender. Come on in here. And the Bible says you'll be a brand new creation. Now that what's on the inside has been changed instantaneous. Then the work on this begins. That's why we get into small group Bible studies, to share the word, to share our struggles, and to be with people we know. That's why we serve on ministry teams, because we get to hang out in the hallway. We get to hang out on Saturday morning. We get to hang out at special events, and we get to know each other better. We know their hearts. We know each other's desires. But if you know Christ as your Savior, and your funeral was tomorrow, would they say, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the most generous guy I've ever met in my life. He's done so much for so many people. That's the most generous woman I've ever met right there. She truly loved the Lord. You could tell by. Will they say that about you? Man, I want them to say that about me. And I pray the Lord keep working on my little black heart, because I know the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. You need to be sure of your salvation. Somebody said, why do you always say that? I say, because that's the most important question you'll ever be asked when you stand before God. And I'm going to tell you something. There's many things I'm unsure of, but there's one thing I am absolutely sure of. I am more sure that when I die, I'm going to stand before God. My name is written in the book. I'm more sure of that than how I spell my name. I am more sure of that than I am of where I'm standing right now today. You understand? Are you that sure? Because that sure will motivate you. You no longer care what people say about you or call you. Listen. We're all just a little different. Some of us are more different. So what? You're not my judge nor my jury. You're just the people that stand on the sidelines and cackle. I will answer to God for my generosity, for my life, and for my witness and how I lead this church. Are you ready to stand before Him? Let's bow. Father in heaven, we thank You for the day and for the blessings. We thank You so much that You were willing, Father, to give Your Son. You gave all. You didn't give a part. You didn't give leftovers. You gave the first. You gave the best. And as an example, we see that Your Son came and lived a sinless life prophesied in the Old Testament. He lived tempted by sin, but yet He never sinned. He claimed that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and He was the only way to heaven. Father, no other religious leader in the world has ever made that bold claim, but He did. And then He said to back it up, I will be killed, I will lay down my life, and in 3 days I will pick it back up. Father, no one in the known world, in the history of this world, has ever said those words. And yet not only did He say them, He did it. We serve a risen Savior. We serve the real God. Father, get into those areas of our lives. May we share our faith with someone personally. May we get involved in small groups. May we get involved in serving. May we be generous. Father, the scripture that says You delight with a generous giver leads us to believe that when we give, we should give happily. No one, Your word even says, Father, no one should give from compulsion. Nobody should be bribed or blackmailed into giving. No one should ever be shamed into giving. And Father, may the people in this room understand this one thing. Father, if You don't motivate the generosity of their hearts, I pray they don't give. Because there is no blessing in that. And the reason they give is to worship You, to show faith in You, to show trust in You, and an opportunity to continue to build Your kingdom. Father, we ask these blessings all in the name of Jesus for His sake. Amen.